This morning's scripture reading will be Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree, of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
It's good to be here with everyone this morning. I was thankful for Dean filling in for me last week, and I'm grateful to be feeling better and improving. It's always such a blessing to gather together with the saints of God's people as we labor together, as we worship together, and as we make our way together toward our heavenly home. We have the guidance that God gives us through His Word, and He ever draws us closer as we spend time reflecting upon it, as we will this morning. The passage that we just read from tells us about the beginning of suffering in the world. The world was not made as a place for people to suffer. Paradise, a wonderful garden that Adam and Eve were placed in, but their sins resulted in consequences that are tied to suffering. Some of that suffering is suffering that all of humanity suffers because of their initial sin. There's a time when suffering will come to an end. Suffering will be over with. It's not during this lifetime, but rather after this life is over. We know from the book of Revelation chapter 21, there's some words spoken there concerning a time where things will be changed. Beginning in verse 1, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Picture there, we're given of the end of suffering. It'll be gone one day. What a beautiful picture of the fact that God has prepared for His people a place and a time where the struggles and the difficulties of this life that are a part of being human, a part of being flesh, will one day be forever gone, because we will inherit the place that God has prepared for us, that Jesus left this world, John 14, to go and to get ready. But here and now, things can be very hard. People have been suffering from the very beginning, as we've said. People suffer every day. Bad people suffer. Good people suffer. People suffer sometimes because of the consequences of their own wrongdoing. People sometimes suffer, we would say, for no apparent reason. And we struggle sometimes with understanding why people suffer at times, including innocent children. Why do they suffer? Why do terrible things happen to little children? And yet, we know that the nature of the God that we serve is such that He desires suffering for no one. He will one day end all suffering. But it's this suffering here and now that we try to grasp and to understand and to make sense of and to try to find God's purpose in, if any, people wonder. today, as we reflect upon suffering, and one thing to keep in mind is that it's important for us as Christians to understand some things about suffering, not only because sometimes God's own people will begin to doubt because of suffering that enters into their lives or that they cannot explain, but of course, when you go to talk to people and lead people to Christ who themselves have suffered various things, and they want to know why this all-powerful God who is so good and loving, why these things then happen. They can't make sense of it. So we should be able to help them to understand a little better from the pages of God's Word what it is, why it is that God allows suffering at times in the lives of human beings. The Scriptures are very clear, and we're going to study these things this morning. They're clear about the reality of suffering, which we're going to look at first of all. They also reveal for us, as we look to inspiration, some of the reasons for suffering. And then we'll finally discuss the great remedy that will forever remove suffering. So let's begin talking about the reality of suffering. So we're not far removed from events that have taken place recently that bring our minds to suffering in the world. You had the two different earthquakes in Japan. There was one yesterday evening in Ecuador. And, you know, the death tolls that they start coming out with are just the beginning early on, because, you know, when these things happen, many lives are lost. And it's days and sometimes weeks that they spend trying to find any survivors or the bodies of those who do not survive. We see suffering happening in this world with events such as that. Of course, we go back in our minds to September 11, 2001, the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives in the events that took place on that day relating to the terrorist attacks. There are people who are still suffering from the aftermath of those events, because there are nearly as many people, over 2,600 people, who are suffering with cancer-related illnesses because of things that they were exposed to. Many of those are first responders because of the good that they were trying to do, helping people. And yet they're suffering as a result of the things that happened on that day. There are hospitals all around us filled with suffering people. There are DCS offices all over with little children who have suffered, oftentimes at the hands of their own family members. And so we see the reality of suffering all around us. In the Scriptures, of course, from Genesis to Revelation, the Scriptures affirm repeatedly the sad reality of human suffering. Abel is murdered by his brother. Why did that happen? His deeds were righteous, and his brothers were not. We have in Genesis 6 and verse 11, God determining that the world is going to be brought to an end. Why? One of the things that is mentioned is violence has filled the earth. Violence has filled the earth. That implies that there were a lot of people that were suffering needlessly during that time because of the fall of humanity, because people were just so not only corrupt in their minds, but violent in their actions, in their ways. And when that happens, you can be guaranteed that there are people suffering throughout the world. The Israelites suffered at the hands of the Egyptians, who were very harsh taskmasters over them. And throughout the Scriptures, going into the New Testament, we read of the faithful of God, good people, servants of God who were loyal to Him, suffering at the hands of the wicked. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. So here is a list of people, individuals who throughout the ages suffer. And in this list, we have a list of people who are not deserving of suffering because they were criminals receiving what they were due because of their terrible actions, but rather good people having done good things, suffering because evil people despised and hated them and the message that they proclaimed. The reality of suffering continues to make itself known to us every day that we live by the things that we and others go through. But let's consider second this morning the reason for suffering. The reason for suffering. Going back into the very beginning of the Scriptures, we find the words that we read, that were read to us as we began our study this morning from Genesis chapter 3. And in these verses, we see the beginning of suffering tied to the decisions that were made by two people. Two people who were given clear indication from God, here's what you cannot do, don't eat this fruit. And then we have the temptation and the fall of mankind when they yielded to that temptation and committed sin. Even though Satan is to be blamed for tempting them, they're held accountable for going along and yielding to that temptation. As a result, then, you notice to the woman, he said, verse 16, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. And she's not the only one, right? She's not the only one. Pain and suffering. Ongoing. Will always be in childbirth. Because someone's decision long ago. And we don't always in our own minds understand, so why, because of what she did, does everyone else have to suffer? Here then, continuing on, notice verse down in verse 17. To Adam he says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So he's faced with hardship. He's faced with suffering in terms of just getting from this earth what is needed to survive. It's going to be a struggle because of what you have done. Israel of old also suffered from her enemies because at various points in her history, those people made the decision to forsake the commands of God. Here's a God, once again, just like in the garden, who sets forth His commands. To them He said, here are the blessings that will come upon you in great abundance if you'll just follow Me and be faithful to My will. And indeed, there were times in their history when they were greatly blessed. We think of the days of Solomon. But then there were times when they chose to reject God, to turn to idols, to turn to immorality and the gratification of the flesh in just very explicit and very terrible ways that they would do things. As a result, then, God delivered them into the hands of their enemies, and they suffered. They suffered, their children suffered, both old and young suffered when they forsook the commands of God. And it happened according to what God predicted, His forewarning them. So God always tells us, here's what's going to happen if you choose to sin. Don't sin because I don't want to have to do this. And then we see people making their choices. So sometimes, as in these specific cases, we see suffering coming upon individuals for their own sins. We, today, we could choose to break various laws and bring suffering upon us, upon our own families, because of choices that we make that could hurt us and those we love. There are sometimes we see in the Scriptures that there are sins that others are guilty of committing that have an impact upon people around them. And of course, we see that today as well. Again, you think of September 11th took place because certain individuals, based upon their false beliefs, took actions that resulted in the suffering of all of those people. What they did brought suffering to others. You can think of drunk drivers whose actions bring about the loss of life murderers, rapists, kidnappers, bring suffering to the lives of many because of their choice, their free will to sin by violating God's will. So sometimes clearly suffering is brought about by others and their choices. The Bible also shows us that sometimes there is the enemy of humankind who is working behind the scenes. And he is literally involved in inflicting suffering upon people in this world. And that, of course, is what we see in the example of Job. Job was a good man, a man who feared God, a man who shunned evil. He's the picture of holiness and dedication to God. And so God points that out to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? And God knew what this man was all about. He knew what his heart was. He knew how he would handle what was going to come upon him. No doubt that played a part in why he approached Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? But Satan, of course, he says the reason why this man is so faithful to you is because look at all that you've given to him. Look at all that you've blessed him with. And you put a fence around him and you're protecting him. But you start taking away these things from him and he'll reject you. He'll curse you to your face. So God says, okay, you can begin to afflict him, but you cannot touch his person. You don't do anything to him. And Satan begins to inflict upon Job things that we cannot even imagine. One of those things happening to us and our families. But wave after wave, he suffers the loss of his wealth. He suffers the loss of his children. All of his children die in one catastrophic event. And the reports come to him. Again, this is something that we marvel at, this man, and how he handles what happens. But he has a report that comes to him about certain servants and livestock that have been lost. And wave after wave comes regarding those things. And then it comes to him, and now your children have died as well. They're all completely lost. And Job, in all of that, he doesn't begin to accuse God, but he assumes incorrectly that God is the one who has taken all of this from him. He doesn't understand. He cannot see these things. We look back and we see this picture of this man who has suffered, and we get the benefit of seeing Satan is the one who has done all of this to him. Satan is the one who brought it all about in the beginning. You will not surely die, he says to Eve. He is God's enemy, and he can never destroy God. But he will delight in trying to destroy those whom God loves so that they will never be able to have eternal life. In life, sometimes there is the possibility, and we cannot put a marker of precision on this happened because Satan did it. We can't say that with certainty. But what we know is it is consistent with what the Bible reveals, that some suffering is the result of one who is our enemy, who seeks to destroy our faith and cause us to forsake God, cause us to come to the conclusion that God either doesn't love us, God doesn't care about us, there is no God, he wants us to curse God and die. Just give it all up. That's what he would like us to do. Sin sometimes leads to suffering. But Satan also is the cause of much suffering. And of course, in this life as well, not only can he, through whatever means God allows him, inflict suffering, but of course, he can bring suffering to us through the temptations that he never relents in bringing upon us. He will always tempt us. He'll tempt us to neglect our duties as Christians, to not do the things that we're supposed to be zealously filling our lives with. He'll tempt us to yield to the desires of the flesh and do those things which may bring temporary pleasure but are going to bring heartache and often suffering. in this life, and of course hereafter especially if we don't repent. But you see, his constant efforts are to turn us against God and to bring suffering for us now, which he hopes will cause us to turn away from God and lead to our eternal suffering. Sometimes we suffer in this life because of sickness and death, but this was certainly not God's will when he made this world. No doubt, there are many different ways in which suffering, we deal with suffering today because of the changes that took place when the world was changed in the beginning, you know, when the flood was brought upon this earth. Because the world that was then was different in nature than it is now. There's some indications in the scriptures that things radically changed. Thank you. And so, as we as Christians reflect upon God's intent at the beginning for good, and we know then we have made choices, others have made choices that have resulted in our suffering, the world has changed so that it's not the same kind of world we live in. And so disease, natural disasters, various things such as this have become a reality for us now that God never intended. Well, all of these things show us various reasons why human beings suffer. But always remember that God's desire is not that you go through pain arbitrarily just because there is no value in it or because he's glad to see people suffer. That's certainly not the case. But one thing we should keep in mind, and that is that it is also not the case that just because there is suffering, that it reflects negatively upon God or the existence of God. Because what we as human beings need to understand is that in suffering, there's actually benefit and value to be found. When you're talking about preparing a people to inherit eternal life, people that are flesh, people that are clothed with this mortal body, but have to prepare themselves to inherit eternal life, a body we possess that often finds itself waging war with the spirit we also possess, because the spirit, if trained according to God's will, knows that the ways of the flesh are the ways of death. The fleshly body seeks to take us in a direction oftentimes against God's will. However, there's the spirit that knows there's a better way. That conflict between the flesh and the spirit is because we're being prepared, and we must prepare ourselves to be a holy people who separate their lives from sin and who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, so that we can inherit a spiritual place and forever be done with the flesh and all the suffering that is tied to it. Let's turn over in our Bibles for a moment to Matthew chapter 11. And we'll read verses 28 through 30. We're going to begin talking finally this morning about the remedy for suffering. The remedy for suffering. Most certainly, when you talk about the remedy for suffering, we look to the one who the Scriptures refer to as the Redeemer. The Redeemer is the remedy for human suffering. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, rather, says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is a burden that humankind is incapable of dealing with, the burden of sin. Sin, as we said, is often tied to our human suffering in this lifetime. And most certainly, sin not dealt with according to how God has made possible forgiveness and redemption. If we don't deal with sin in the long term, then of course there's never-ending suffering that results. But Jesus is the solution in that sin and its consequences he is able to deal with. and can remove, and desires to take the burdens that we are bearing, to lift them, and to bear them for us. So when you think about the choices that human beings have made and continue to make, if people begin to look to the Redeemer, to Jesus Christ, and begin to transform their own lives by conforming to His will, there will be changes in society, changes in people's hearts and thus in their actions that will result in the diminishment of tremendous amounts of human suffering. Because so much suffering is tied to the choices that people make relating to sin. Not all suffering, but so much suffering is tied to those choices. And therefore, when we allow Jesus to take that yoke, or to take that burden, and we then take His yoke, which is easy, and His burden light, then we find relief from the burden of sin. We can have spiritual rest or peace in this life, and then, of course, eternally as well. We mentioned Revelation 21 and verse 8, where God is pictured as wiping away suffering forever in the removal of tears, death, sorrow, crying, and pain. Because He says, these former things have passed away. Jesus, in His offering Himself as the sacrifice for our sins, will eventually remove all suffering. Even suffering today that we cannot say, well, you know, as I think about this person's suffering or this case of suffering, I can't exactly fit it into one of the molds or one of the examples that I find in the Bible. Nevertheless, suffering of all sorts will entirely be gone one day if we turn to the Lord for forgiveness, if we turn to Him for the rescue that He provides from the suffering that sin leads to. Jesus does promise rest and relief, but again, we remember that Jesus does not promise that in this life He will remove all suffering. That's never to be expected, to be entertained in our minds, that we will be spared from suffering in this life. Jesus in John 15, verses 18 through 20, taught contrary to that, that in fact we should understand because the world hated Him, we will also be hated. We will be persecuted. We will be despised because that's what they did to Him. But He points out that there is joy to be found in suffering for His sake. The remembrance of reward that is ahead of us that will not be lost, that no one can take from us. Remember, He says, and focus on those things. We remember our brethren back in the first century. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 40, where the apostles were beaten and commanded, do not speak in the name of Jesus Christ, and then released. And we're told that when they left, verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What we see in this is their attitude towards suffering. In this case, of course, they're suffering because they have faithfully done God's will and they're a hostile people. They're people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. But regardless of the suffering that you may presently be suffering with, or that you may in the future suffer with, one thing is certain, and that is the attitude of mind that we take towards suffering makes all the difference in what it's like as we go through it. That we understand that suffering can and will be a part of life for even God's faithful children, but that there is an end in sight to that suffering promised. And James, or rather Peter, tells us not to think it strange concerning the suffering that we have to go through. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And of course, the Apostle Paul suffered his own thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And yet when the Lord tells him, I'm not going to remove this thorn, you're going to have to continue to suffer with it, The Lord explains to him, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God is showing that you can be made stronger through the suffering that you go through when you remember to rely upon me and to trust in my word. And therefore, Paul concludes, "Most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Suffering is a reality. But suffering is something that the Lord deals with. He will relieve us from all of it. In this life, we need to struggle against Satan's efforts to destroy our faith through suffering. We need to try to come to the aid of those who are suffering. Many around us are suffering. We need to encourage them, help them through those suffering with physical, attending to physical needs, relief that we may be able to provide, encouragement, explanation of things as the Scriptures give us to show that there is a relief coming in sight one day, that God helps us through suffering in this life, and that He can actually help us to gain something from that which will help us to in turn help others to be stronger so that we can persevere through the hardships of life and one day lay hold of that crown that God has promised to each and every one of us. As God blesses us each and every day with life to live, we look forward to and focus on the life that is waiting for us in heaven, the life that is never ending. We're clothed now with a mortal body that is passing away, that at times will suffer. But we're told that there is awaiting us one that is different, one that is never going to see death, and one with which we will be clothed as a part of our reward and then inherit the mansions that are being prepared for us. This morning, as you reflect upon your own life, as you reflect upon living and dying and suffering, think upon the condition of your soul, that part of you that will endure forever. And reflect upon whether or not that soul is stained with sin or washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus Christ, again, shows us the means by which we can gain hope that can never be taken from us. And a part of that is the end of all suffering. Turning to Jesus Christ in faith, believing that He's the Son of God, is where it all begins. We have to also turn from a life of sin, confess our faith, and be baptized so that our sins can, by the blood of Jesus, be once and for all removed, washed away. We're cleansed. We become children of God, added by God at that moment to the church that we read about in the Scriptures. And then a life of dedication and faithfulness, continuing to obey God and live for Him, ensures us that we will be granted the promises that are made to us and be with God forever and have those tears and all of that suffering wiped away forevermore. But as a child of God, as you're living your life, you know Satan is ever after you. Live faithfully. Endure, persevere, resist the temptations, and fight that good fight. But if you have struggled, if you need the prayers of your fellow Christians, or if you have wandered and you know you need to come home, today is an opportunity. And at this time, we'll sing this invitation song, and if you need to come, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing.